lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, How much owest thou unto my lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, Take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. That's not the right thing to do ethically or legally, morally. But he was in a position to do it and get by with it. See? So the point isn't whether it's right or wrong. The point is, this guy is looking at, we're taking the parable as it's written, we're looking at a guy who claims that he'll basically starve to death if he doesn't do something. So he takes his circumstances and he does this. You know, if you study history, you're going to find out that some of the wealthiest families in this nation got to where they were because there was one guy in their family history who was a big stinking crook and made gazillions of dollars, and then the family's been living off it for generations since.
Yeah. Are you talking about the Kennedys?
Well, that's one. Yeah, that just happened recently.
Yeah, almost all of Congress.
I think Joe Kennedy was their dad's name, right?
Yeah.
And I think he made his money selling illegal liquor during Prohibition.
Well, they killed Marilyn Monroe because she was pregnant with Bobby Kennedy.
Yeah, we could go on the sins of that family, but Chappaquiddick and all that stuff.
It was a gunpowder for the Germans.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people who made a lot of money off of Nazi Germany.
Yep.
IBM became what it was. I mean, there's all kinds of historical... I'm telling you, history, folks, is an important thing to study and learn. Because it constantly has been repeated because, we're told if we don't learn from it, we're doomed to repeat it. So this guy is just using worldly wisdom in a way that God wouldn't endorse the specifics of. But it's the overall general attitude that he is looking at his circumstances and using worldly wisdom. Now, we are to use godly wisdom. Amen?
Amen?
But on just the issue of using the wisdom at your disposal, then Jesus is telling us in verse 7, it says, Then said he to another, And how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, Take thy bill and write 80. So he's helping them cut their losses. And again, keep in mind, it's not the tactic, but the worldly wisdom being showcased by the Lord here. And so then we look at verse 8. After he did this, it says, And the Lord commended the unjust steward because what?
He had done wisely.
Because he had done wisely. Now look at that. That's the guy who's losing the money. The guy who's, you know, he's the one who is going to take the losses. But he's kind of like, you know how I think I put it in here, honor among thieves? You know, I've seen it years ago. I was, had a somewhat of an association with a guy that was involved in some illegal activity. And I just knew of it, but I didn't get involved with it. And some guy ripped him off, and he found him, and I watched him beat him up. I know this before I say it. And and I just stood out of the way because I knew this guy had ripped him off, and he wasn't going to get his money back. But then after he beat him up, not to the point of death or anything, but he beat him up, smacked him around a little bit. Then they were sitting down. And he popped out his cigarettes and gave him one. And he took one. They lit up. I just sat and watched this. And they start smoking. And he says, You ever going to do that again? And I says, Probably. And so the first guy, I'm trying not to say names, because I don't want to, somebody might watch this and know what I'm talking about. But then the first guy says, That's why I love you, man. And the other guy says, I love you too. I'm like, what in the world?
What kind of love?
Yeah. And that's kind of what we're seeing here. So after I experienced that, I witnessed that. And then I read this and I'm like, that's exactly what I saw with these guys. You know. And they were both the type who had prison records. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's the kind of guy that we're talking about here. That's why one of the first things we tell people when we become a Christian, I tell people this, no matter how long you've been a Christian, you should read Proverbs.
Yeah.
Because the wisdom in that book. And we do every Monday through Friday, we do a devotional, 5 minutes. And Monday through Thursday now are all Proverbs. So we take one proverb, and for 5 minutes, and we have hundreds of people now watching those videos. And I'm hearing from it, and they're talking about how, man, I used to struggle to get my day started in God's Word, and now I start every day in God's Word. That's like, oh, thank you, Lord. That's exactly all I want to hear. I don't want to hear that Greg's wonderful, or, you know, I had one guy said he listens to the audio so he doesn't have to look at me. I'm like, praise the Lord, because that's not what it's about. It's not about my mug. It's about them hearing the Word of God. And people said, I get started, and now I think about God's Word more during the day. But it's not just God's Word. It's the wisdom found in Proverbs. And I've had people write me and say, you know, the very day I heard that, and I go to work, and I'm faced with the very thing you was teaching in the morning. And you know, that's all at our disposal. If you're not, you don't have to watch me for 5 minutes in the morning. I'm saying get into the Proverbs. Because if not, you're robbing yourself of your own heritage.
Yeah.
Your own birthright. God has provided this for you, and it's at your fingertips, literally, and people don't take advantage of it. He is demonstrating wisdom. That's the point of the parable. I mean, what the guy did was ripped his boss off.
Okay.
But again, because his boss is the same type of guy, he was impressed. You know?
You know what? I don't like what you did, but I do like what you did. Maybe almost feel like I want to bust your kneecaps, but you know what you did was just beautiful.
That's what this guy's like. And so God's saying, or Jesus is teaching us that in demonstrating wisdom, then that's what we ought to do. And as I said, in 30 years of ministry, I've seen so many Christians lack wisdom. God will not commend such tactics, but does commend wisdom. And that's why He gives us so much wisdom in His Word. So verse 8 closes then and says this, and this is one that blows people's mind. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light.
Yeah.
When I first got saved, I read that and I thought, I must be reading that wrong. I must not be understanding that correctly. Fast forward 30 years later, I'm like, bingo.
Yeah.
The children of this world are, in their generation, wiser than the children of light. I see Christians all the time. And one of the dumbest things Christians do is what I referred to earlier and say, I'm just trusting the Lord. No, you're not. If you're trusting the Lord, then when He tells you to do this, this, and this, which would take care of your problem, you do it. Bible faith is not blind faith. Bible faith isn't jumping off a bridge and just trusting there's going to be a trampoline at the bottom. That's not Bible faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's not blind. It's not a jump in the dark. And a lot of people get really hurt and then think that somehow God failed them when they do that kind of stuff. God didn't fail. So, that's an obvious fact to some, as I said, to me. I'll just give you some examples. Finances, we talked about it. Christians, Larry Burkett back in the 90s, I used to listen to him. And he just said, you know, tithe to your church, tithe to yourself, pay your bills, and then with whatever's left, pray about if God wants you to give any of that to His work. And then what's left, spend however you want. And if you do that, you'll be fine. Unless there's, you know, Great Depression or something that can get really rough on everybody. Well, when I started doing that, I'm suddenly not calling up my mom and dad and telling them I need money. I'm suddenly not having to pray, Lord, I don't know why, but, you know, if you follow. And you don't have to follow that. You don't have to. But I believe it's biblical. I believe in the Bible, God's people give a tenth to the Lord. not because it's law. It's not law. It's not even law for you to attend church. But why do you attend church? Because the Bible says we shouldn't forsake the gathering of ourselves together. Why do I tithe? Because the Bible says we should be a cheerful giver. And we should give as God has prospered us. The most prosperous nation in the world, and there's all kinds of little churches like ours that can't hardly even pay their bills. I can't say that. We have very giving people here, so I'm kind of preaching to the choir for most of you, I believe. But there might be somebody here, someone online who isn't. And I'm just telling you, you're robbing yourself of the blessings of God. And put that 10%, now that is just a number that is based on, if God wants that tenth, then your savings, that's a good number for your savings. Some of you may be saving more than that, great. But if you're saving less than that, it's going to be harder for you to be safe from the disasters. It'll be more likely you'll have to rely on other people. And your time, you know, if you're awake, you have 24 hours in the day. 10% of that would be what? 40
minutes.
So I rounded up to 3. And what do I do in those 3 hours? I separate my reading and prayer time throughout the day. And I try to spend a third of my day. Now, some people say, well, I only count the waking hours. Well, fine. Most of you are still awake for 16 hours. You know, so it's an hour and hour and a half. Yeah. So 90 minutes, whatever it is. And if you start doing that with your time and your substance and everything, it's just an amazing transformation to your life. You can ignore it, but I'm just telling you. I went longer on that than I wanted to, so I won't spend a lot of time doing politics. There's a lot of people who helped us get the president we have now because the last president wasn't the Apostle Paul. Only Christians are that stupid. I'm telling you, the world's never that stupid. The world understands that when they got a guy that isn't perfect and maybe a flawed person or whatever, but he's doing their bidding, they support him. And one of the reasons why Biden's in trouble right now, for example, is because he's failed to do a lot of things he said he was going to do for the left. But politics is one area. Business, similar to finances. But in business practice, Christians will do things that are unethical and everything. Expect God to bless the business. You know, when it comes to automobiles. And now, I've seen a lot of teenagers do this, and you understand it because they're teenagers, but when I see Christians who are adults and especially mature, and I say, they bought a car, and like, oh, really? Well, tell me about it. Oh, it's pretty, and it's got a really good stereo.
Yeah.
You're like, that's the least reason to buy a car. It's like a woman last night, we were watching something, and when automobiles first came out, and the guy says, how many horses under the hood? And she's like, you can't fit a horse under there. You know, she didn't have any idea. Prepping, we just talked about, so I won't elaborate on, etc. They'd fill in the blanks, other ways you see it. So sadly, the children of light can also be the most unteachable. And this is where you come in. Have you heard things this morning that you need to make changes on? I mean, some Christians are concrete. And they are set in stone. They won't change, no matter what anybody tells them. They've arrived. They would never announce it, but that's their attitude. And so they sit and they hear something. Now, if I'm not teaching the Bible, then obviously you reject that. But if what I'm saying is biblical and you're not doing it, that's what we're here for, folks. We're here to be transformed by the Word of God. And so if you come in with no willingness to be transformed by what you hear from me, you're going to have the same attitude when you go home and read it by yourself. You're not going to read it and say, ooh, that's something I ought to work on. Ooh, that's something I... That's not going to be your attitude at home if it's not when you're here. And so, one of the reasons Christians show such a lack of wisdom is because they refuse to ever be changed by what they hear. And of course, a lot of Christians daydream through the whole thing and don't hear it anyway. But if you're hearing what I'm saying, and you're not willing to then make those changes, then that's a problem. Amen. Not to be hearers only, but to be doers of the Word. Amen?
Amen.
And we are not to be unjust stewards, but a faithful steward. Scripture with Scripture, Luke 12. We're going to close this thing up, but I want to look at this real quick, a couple places. Luke 12, 42 and 43. We read this a few weeks ago. This is what you and I want. And the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward?" That's supposed to be us. "Whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." I believe that the rapture can take place at any moment. I'm asking you, when the Lord returns, is he going to find you a faithful steward or an unteachable fool? That's the choices. Will you be faithful or an unteachable, stone-headed, not going to change, you're not convincing me, preacher? That's what I've gotten for 30 years. I've had more of that than I have people willing to change. And I'm not looking at anybody here. That's between you and the Lord. I don't know. Are you changing? Are you willing to change? It's between you and the Lord. But then over in Matthew 25, 21, his Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Do you want to hear Jesus say that to you?
Amen.
"Thou hast been faithful over a few things." He hasn't really called us, burdened us with a lot to be faithful over, just a few things. "I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." That's what I want to hear. Amen? Is that what you want to hear?
Amen.
Well, there's coming a day when we will be called on to give an account of thy stewardship. And people just act like it's just not a big deal. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. That's all that matters. But the day comes when you stand before Jesus Christ and give an account, you'll wish you had taken it seriously. Preaching to myself as much as anybody. I try to constantly remind myself. Yes, you can get caught up in the fact that most Christians just fritter away their time. Their lives are just, you know, like a vapor. But I don't want to be a part of that crowd.
Amen.
I want to be a part of the crowd who has been faithful with my time, talents, substance, etc., and been a good steward. Because Paul said this in Romans 14, 11, 12, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God.
Amen.
You're not going to be, your sins are washed, but your stewardship will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. There will be loss of reward for people who have not been faithful stewards. The Bible, Christians totally ignore the context, but the Bible does not say he'll wipe away all tears until after the great white throne is over.
Amen.
At judgment, there will be weeping.
Yep.
And there'll be Christians weep.
Yep.
It won't rob them of the joy of being in heaven. It won't rob them of the knowledge that they're eternally saved, but they'll still be ashamed of their lack of stewardship. And they will lose reward. And I can't explain exactly what it means, but during the millennium, it'll affect where you serve the Lord for 1,000 years. It'll happen. I can't get real specific, but I know it'll happen because the Bible says so. So do you take this day seriously? The day of the judgment of seat of Christ. Your day. That's the question I want to leave you with. Do you take that day seriously? Are you living your life for that day? 1 Corinthians 3:11-15. It's our last place we'll look. 1 Corinthians 3:11. This is such a stunning thing to read. Verse 11 says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So that's the first thing. What's your foundation? Are you saved? You're a believer in Jesus Christ? Yes. Okay, then that's your foundation. Verse 12, "Now if any man build upon this foundation..." See, it's not to be saved, but because you are saved, you build upon that foundation. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, which is it? Verse 13 says, "Every man's work shall be made manifest." When? At the judgment seat of Christ. "For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. That's not hell. That's the fires of judgment. I cannot explain what that exactly means. I just know it'll happen. And verse 14 then says, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. But, verse 15, this is for Christians at the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. I've read preachers, I've read commentaries, and they basically rip that out of their Bible. They do, because they refuse. They have their idea of what is supposed to happen after death and after the rapture. And they don't want to be confused by the facts. But those are the facts, folks. That's what's coming. And if you serve the Lord faithfully, then you'll have a much better time at that moment. We should be motivated to faithful service by the faithful sacrifice of Jesus Christ. I can only tell you this. Why do I want to live my life for the Lord? Why do I want to spend myself for the Lord? I want to die of exhaustion for the Lord. Just like Moses. Up on the mountain, dead. I'd love to go that way. I've known a few guys, preachers, just died, serving the Lord, and bam. Man, I love that. And some of them may be on the deathbed for a short time, but it's like a car that's run out of gas. And they die exhausted for the Lord. Why? Because I know that Jesus gave His life for me. Jesus died for me. Jesus shed His blood and was more than just killed. He was beaten. He was mocked. He was treated horrible and then crucified, the worst way to die, to save me. The least I can do is then turn around and live for Him. And that's what I want to do. That's what I want to encourage everybody I ever teach to do.
stuck in your head. That was the whole